I have a couple more limes. I'll make you feel. You won't notice the trip.
You know how much I have whiskey,
how
like whiskey that much.
When I've
had a drop, it
doesn't. Nothing
more.
Okay. It's gone.
It's really. It's like
breakfast. Time for another one. Today's daf is Nun Beis, and we have to finish off a bit of Nun Aleph Ahmed Beis on the bottom. We're up to five lines on the bottom where it says Toshima. So what we're discussing here is, we're discussing this argument between Abaye and Rava. If a person tries to make a marriage ceremony, and we're in a situation where it cannot be completed, because the guy, let's say, when he's marrying, when he says one of the two sisters, and we don't know which one, so he cannot live with either one of them, because in case it's this wife's sister. So therefore, according to Rava, that marriage is not chal at all. And according to Abaye, it is, and he doesn't know. He just doesn't know which one, right? So that's what we're discussing, the situation. So now the Gemara says, Toshama, five lines from the bottom, Toshama, Shnayim Shekichu Shtei Achayois. Two people married two sisters, but Zeh Eina Yedeya Ezekidish, Zeh Eina Yedeya Ezekidish, and they don't know which one it was now. Yeah. So therefore, they cannot. Each one cannot just choose one, because it might be his wife's sister, which is a no-no. So what do? They have to give divorces. Zeh Noisin Get Shnei Gitin, and each one has to divorce both of them, because he doesn't know which one is his wife. So just in case, he gives his get. He gives one get to each of them. Zeh Noisin Shnei Gitin, and the other one gives a get to each of them. Is again, this is a proof for Abaye that even though you don't know which one it is, and therefore it's not mosul labia, it cannot be consummated. Nevertheless, the marriage is chal, and he has to give a get. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a get. And this is the Gemara, Hachanami, like we said yesterday in the previous one, Shehut Kula B'Seif Nisarvu. When it says he doesn't know which one he married, it doesn't mean that he never knew. It means right now he doesn't remember, or he doesn't know for some reason. But at the time of the marriage, he did know. And that's why, says Rava, the marriage took place and was valid. And now that he's forgotten, so now he has to give a divorce. Is Dekanami, then the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Dekanami, not only are we just making up this answer, but you can actually even work it out from the words of the Braisa, the Katani, Eina Yedeya. In the Braisa it says, he doesn't know who he's married to. V'lei Katani, En Yadua. It doesn't say it is not known. If the expression would have been, En Yadua, it's not known, that would have meant that right from the beginning it was not known. En Yadua means no one knows. It's a passive statement. It's an unknown. It's an unknown unknown. It's a known unknown. Right? Whereas if it is En Yadua, it means he doesn't know. That means the fact is that it is a fact that could be known, but he just doesn't know it, because he's forgotten. Yesterday he knew, now he forgot. And Shema Mino, so that's a good proof of that's what it means. Now the question is the flip side. Ihachi, if we're talking about where he knew who he was married to yesterday, but now he's forgotten, and then you're saying that the marriage is chal and needs a get, is Maila Memra. What's the chiddush of that? Of course, if he knew at the time of the marriage that the marriage who he married, then the marriage is chal and it's a get. Of course, what's the question? So the Gemara says, you're right. To tell me that he's married and he needs to give his get to both of them just in case is no chiddush. You wouldn't need to tell me that. But seifa it's trichalei. It's the next part of the brisa, which is what the chiddush is, and it's a lead into that. What's the next part of the brisa? Meis. Let's say one of these blokes dies. Yeah. So two guys married to two sisters, and they don't know which one's which, and one of the blokes dies, and then ulazeach. Each one has a brother. Yeah. So with each one has a brother. So now there is a situation of Yibum over here. Each brother, so the brother of the dead guy, so here we have to say it means that they both died. They both died, and there's two brothers now, but each one doesn't know which one he's supposed to do Yibum with. And the other, so one of them he's supposed to do Yibum with, but the other one is the sister of the guy, of the lady he's supposed to do Yibum with. So what do they do? Yeah, because each one could be the sister of the one, of the right one. Therefore, each brother, one, the first brother does chalitza with both women, and both, and the other one also does. So they both have to do chalitza to both of them, because just in case it is the one he's supposed to do, but he can't marry.
I can't remember who I married yesterday. I know I got married. He was drunk at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that girl. That girl.
Oh,
where is she?
I
had this girl here somewhere. I can't remember who she is. Right. Now, what happens if the two guys, one of them had one brother, and the other one had two brothers? Just to complicate the situation a little bit more. Top of the page. The one brother who's on the one side, he's got. There's no way he can do Yibum. Yeah, because one of them is his kuka, the other one is the sister of his kuka. He doesn't know which one, so he has to for sure do chalitza to both of them. But hashnayim, the two blokes who are brothers of on the other side, in their case, echad chalitza ve'echad miyabim. One can do chalitza, and then the other one can do yibum. Why? Because once one brother did chalitza, let's say he did chalitza to the one he was supposed to do chalitza with. That was really the right wife. Then the other one is to the other brother is nothing, so he can marry her. Why not? Let's say he did chalitza to the wrong one, to the sister of the zakuka. That means that the one who's left is the real one he's supposed to do yibum with. So this brother goes and does yibum with her. So either way, he can marry her because either she's not related to him at all, or she's the right one to do yibum to. So therefore, the second guy can do yibum once the first one did chalitza. The second one can do yibum. Yeah, but im kodmu v'kansu, let's say both brothers decided to marry both of these sisters. Yeah? So then, in mitzina samayodim, they don't have to get divorced, because now that they've done it, even though one of them, when he got married, was marrying potentially the sister of his zakuka, but now that the other guy is married, but now that his brother is married the sister, yeah? So now they've done yibum. So now it's not zakukas anymore. So sort of retrospectively, there's no more connection between him and this lady, and he's just marrying a stam lady. Yeah. So therefore, once if they're both married and then come to Bez, then we say, well, good luck for you. You can keep your wives. And then he says that when they come to Chatzchil of the two brothers and they say, what should we do? We dafke mechlatz v'hadu yivumi. We dafke say, first one brother should do chalitza, and then the other one can do yibum. Yeah, because once he's done chalitza, manavshach. If he did chalitza to the right lady, then there's no zika anymore. And if he did chalitza on the wrong, yeah, and the sister, you mean? And if he did chalitza to the wrong one, then the two who are left are doing yibum. So therefore, either way is good. But if one brother wants to do yibum first before chalitza, before his brother did chalitza, loy, you can't do that. The kapam b'kab yivam l'shuk. Because when he does yibum and the brother hasn't done chalitza yet, yeah, it could be that he will do.
He'll meet up with the correct one and somewhere else.
No,
he's done the wrong one.
Yeah, he's got. He's doing the. No, what will happen is he will marry this woman without any chalitza. When he says the kapoga, how does this work over here? The one that he did yibum with could be. Yeah, he could have done the wrong. Oh, so he could have done the wrong one, and then someone else will marry the other one. Will be Yivam b'Vishuk. Yes, it'll be the one who's really supposed to be the sister-in-law. If he didn't do chalitza, then. Oh man, I'm not saying good over here. I'm sorry, I didn't say right. It's not these two brothers. If the brother on the other side didn't do chalitza first, then it would be the Yivam l'shuk, right? This is talking about. Remember, we talked about two guys. The original story was that two guys married these two sisters. Yeah, so we need the echad. Not out of these two brothers. It doesn't matter what the order is, right? But with the other brother is on the other side. Yeah, so the two guys died. One had two brothers, and one had one brother. The one guy who had one brother, he's got to do chalitza on both women first before the two brothers do anything. That is for sure. Because if he doesn't do chalitza first, one of the women is his zakuka, and if one of the brothers from the other side grabs her, well, they're not related. But she has a zika to the first brother, and she ends up marrying out without having chalitza first. I don't think I explained that very well somehow.
No, you couldn't explain it better.
I'll try again. You got one brother on one side and two brothers on the other side. And you got two women in the middle. And they don't know which one is supposed to belong to which. Yeah? So the guy on the one, the single guy on the right, he's got to do chalitza with both of them before these two do anything. Why? Because if he doesn't, then these two, one of these ladies here, is supposed to do yibum with him. Yeah, one of them. We don't know which one.
Now,
if she hasn't done yibum or chalitza with him, and she goes and marries one of these brothers, then she's a yevama who's marrying out to some stranger when she's supposed to be marrying to him. So that's why she's also to him. That's why this guy must do chalitza first. So that takes him out of the picture. And now these two can just work out amongst themselves what they're doing with these two. Okay. Now, Toshima, so that was the chiddush of that, but it's not telling you anything about the fact that if you didn't know in the first place that the marriage is chal. So we're still trying to work out between Abaye and Rava. Says the Gemara Vayter Toshima, the Toni Tavyumi, we have a braisa quoted by Tavyumi that goes like this, L'zeh chamisha bonim l'zeh chamesh bonois. Two blokes are sitting under the coolabah tree, but this time one of them has five sons and the other one has five daughters. Stolzachvor, yeah? One guy with five sons, one guy with five daughters, and they're sitting having a picnic under the tree. The Omar, and one of the fathers says, the father of the boys, he says to the father of the girls, Achas mibnei sayich mekudeshes le'echem nibonai. One of your daughters is married to one of my sons. And I mean, it must be the son made him a shliach, so therefore he can do it. Because otherwise the father cannot marry off a son without asking
him. We had that whole discussion before. But
okay. He wouldn't make him a shliach, but let's say he did make him a shliach. Right, okay. So now you have a situation where the two fathers got together, and one of the brothers is married to one of the sisters, but we don't know which one's which. It's called Achas v'Achas Tzricha Chamisha Gitin, says the Braisa of Tavyumi. Each one of these girls needs to get a get from all five of the brothers in order to remarry. Because we don't know which one she's married to, she needs to get a get from all of them, just in case. And not only that, but she can't marry any of them, because each one could be the sister of his wife.
Is this
also no good.
Get which will passel her from kahuna?
This is a get misofik. Yeah, well, it's a sofik, Rusha.
Is that what we're going to call it, reyach get?
No, this is a real get.
So that'll passel her from kahuna and everything, just because they have five sons?
Yeah, misofik. Yeah, that's right. She's a Suffolk Grusha, she can't marry a queen. Now, Mace. Hello, life's like that, you hear me? Mace Echon Mehem. What happens now if one of these five boys died? So we don't know if the one who died was the one who was married to one of the girls or not. So just in case, is Kol Achas V'Achas Shricha Arba Gitim. So there's four brothers left, so they still need to get a get from each of the four remaining brothers just in case they were married to him. But they also need chalitza meyachamim. Someone has to do chalitza just in case it was the dead brother who was married to her, and therefore she needs chalitza. She doesn't need four chalitzas because one chalitza of one brother is good enough for them.
So why does he have to give her a get also?
In case it's his wife.
In case
they're his wife.
Each one will end up with four gitin. Each girl will have four.
Four gitin and one
and one
chalitza.
One girl will have a chalitza, but not all of them.
No, they all need chalitza.
So all
we don't know which one's the wife.
Four gittin and one chalitza. Yeah. So this guy does chalitza with four women.
No, you can have different ones doing
any
chalitza.
One does.
Yeah, because for chalitza, one brother does chalitza, that's it. You don't need a chalitza from each brother. Okay, so each one needs one chalitza in case the dead brother was the one who was married to them. And each one needs four gittin in case any one of the four live brothers was married to them. That could be the case. But nevertheless, what do we see from all that? That even though it was not a clear marriage, and therefore it was never able to be consummated, so it was one of these kiddushin shel no mosul lebiya, and we said they need all these gittin and stuff. According to Rava, they shouldn't need anything, because since it was never made clear in the first place, it was never suitable to be consummated, the whole thing should be invalid, said Rava before, yesterday. Ah, the chitema, so you'll answer me, Rava, hachanami, that here also give me the same answer you gave before, kishahukul v'sef nisarvu, that why do they need all these gittin? Because at the time of the marriage, they knew which one it was, and it was only later on that they forgot. That you got away with that one on the previous case, when it just said Eini Yedeya, he doesn't remember, he doesn't know which one he married. But over here, the Ha'achas mibnei sayich mimisecha le'ech mibonai katani. In the first place, he only ever said one of your daughters to one of my sons. That means it was never clear, even in the first instant. You can't say they knew which one. He didn't say, what's her name? title and motel. Yeah, he didn't say it then, and they'll get married. He just said one. Yeah, he said right at the beginning. He just said one of them. A butcher lays a wolf. Well, the tailor, see the tailor motel comes. So we don't know which one it is. So therefore, and right in the beginning, they never knew. So as you can't say this is a case of where they knew and they forgot. And nevertheless, the marriage is valid. Just you don't know which one. Is it Tiyufta, the Rava Tiyufta? So this is the one that Rava has no answer for. Kasha and Rava remains a Kasha. The Hilchas of Kavosya, the Abaya. Here, the Halachas of Kabaya, but Ya'al Kigam. This is one of the six cases. Abaya and Rava argued like 9,000 times in Shas, and every single time the Halachas is like Rava, except for six, which is the Rosh HaTevis of Yud Ayin Lamed Kuf Gimul Mem. And this one is the Kuf. Kedushin She'en Misur in Labia, which is a marriage which is cannot be consummated. The other case is Yud is the Yud Shalom Edas. We get a little above Metziah when somebody loses something. Can you consider it that they've given up hope of recovery, even though they didn't know that they'd lost it? Ayin is talking about an Eid Zomim. When you have an Eid Zomim, it's a false witness. When he say that he's not believed anymore to give future testimonies, does that mean from now on, or do we say any testimony he gave even before that is no good? It's called lemafreya. Is he apostle retrospectively? And then we have the Lamed and Erevin about Lechi Omimayelov. When you make a Lechi, if you're trying to make an Erev, this would be relevant to our Erev here. Does it have to be a pole that you stuck there specifically for the Erev, or if it happens to be a pole standing there by itself, is that good or not? The Kuf is the one here. Gimel is Gila Daita Begita, is the case we had in Gita when a person. You can sort of tell what he means, but he didn't actually say what he meant. And the last one is Mem, which is a Mumar Ochel Neveles HaTayoven, in the case of a person who he eats unkosher, but he's only doing it because he can't resist the temptation. So there's two kinds of Mumar. There's one is Lahachis, where he eats treif because he doesn't care. He's a Dafkinik. I'm going to eat treif just to show you. Yeah. And there's the other one who says, look, I'd like to keep kosher, but I just can't resist the Big Mac. Yeah, so he's just doing it because he's got too much taiva, he can't control himself, so he's not such a bad bloke. So there's a discussion there about whether he should be Apostle Edus or not. Interesting to note, Tosfos actually has a couple of replacements for some of these two Yalka Gams, but we won't go into all of that, but it's just, you always think of them as being the six clear cases, but there's a couple of different ones over there. By the way, the Tosfos on the top also brings the question we discussed yesterday, when a person married off the Gedola, the older one and the younger ones and all that sort of stuff, and we were trying to work out which one of the older, when he says the Gedola, does it mean the oldest of the oldest or the oldest of the youngest or the youngest of the oldest? Yeah, and he brings this situation about the concept that we always, you know, our custom is that you always marry off the first one first. L'yosachem kemenu. Yeah, So there's a whole thing. Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say that we definitely say it was the older one, but then they all argued with Rabbeinu Tam, and he sort of gave up and went back to what the Gemara says. Okay, you can look in that Tosfos in his spare time. Next, says the Gemara Vayter, Maisa b'chamish noshim. Getting back to our story of five women, which you mentioned yesterday by the two dots. Yeah. So what happened? He took a cluster of figs. And it was theirs, and it was Shemitah, and there were two sisters and three other women, and he handed them the cluster of figs and says, Kulcha mekudoshes li. So the Chachamim said, Ein achyos mekudoshes, is Omar Rav, Shema mino masnisen arba. We can learn out four things from this case of the Mishnah. The Nakit Rav Biyadet lost, but he only told us three of them. He only held in his hand three. What were the three things that he told us? Shema mina mekadosh peperis shvis mekudeshes. The first thing we learn is that if a person takes fruit from Shemitah and tries to marry with it, it works. Because even though Shemitah, what's the deal with Shemitah fruit? It's not that you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to do business with it. And you're not allowed to hoard it. It's not osur b'hanah. You're not allowed to hoard it. So you can't bring it into your house. You have to leave it out there for the poor, etc. And the other thing is you're not allowed to do a business with it. That's like when we buy the esrogim of Shemitah, you can't buy an esrog of Shemitah. What you do is you buy a lulav for $300 and you get a free esrog. You get a free esrog thrown in. Yeah. So he says that. But if a person took, so the fruit was hefker, because a person has to make his field open to everybody in Shemitah. And someone came along and took that fruit and goes straight up to the woman as Mekadosh. Once he took it, it becomes his. From hefker. Yeah. So he then, if he tries to marry with her, that works. So that's the first thing we learn from the Mishnah. The second thing we learn is that if it's stolen property, it doesn't work. That was the whole reason why we had to say, since it was theirs, that means he stole it from them. The only reason why it works is because it was Shmita anyway, so it's not really theirs, because in Shmita everything is ownerless, yeah? So that means normally, if it hadn't been Shmita, and he had just stolen it, then it wouldn't work, because it's not his.
But the spirit of it is that it was theirs.
That's right. So that's why, but that's what the Mishnah is telling us. It was growing in their tree, yeah? But the only reason why it works is because it was Shmita. And if Ifilu begezel dida, even if he stole something from her and then hands it to her, so he's a pickpocket and he manages to get her watch and he goes, "Oh, marry me with this watch." Yeah? Is it doesn't work. What's the chiddush? Even if they stole it from her, because you might have thought the fact is she accepted it. Yeah. So if he stole her figs and then gives it to her and says, "Marry me," and she goes, "Okay." So you might think,
she may not know it's her figs.
Well, we're learning from the Mishnah that we assume that even though you might have thought that this shows that she's moichel, that she forgives him on the stealing, and she says, "Yeah, you can keep it." How do I know that? Because she was willing to take it back as marriage. Otherwise, she sort of said, "What do you mean, marry me with that? It's mine anyway." She didn't say that. She said, "Yeah, fine." So therefore, you would have thought that works. So therefore, this tells you no. Even if he stole it from her and gave it to her, and she said, "Yes," it doesn't work. How do I know that? Because it says that it was hers, or it was theirs, and it was Shemitah Dik. It's time of the Shvi'is. Why does it work? Because it was Shemitah Dik, the Hefkeru, when it's Shemitah, it doesn't have any owner. If it was from another year of the Shemitah cycle, where it did have an owner, i.e. them, loy, it wouldn't work. So that's the second thing. The third thing...
Or
because it's a din amominus. Well, that's not a din amominus. The question from marriage is only whether it's his or it's not his. Yeah? It's din amominus.
We don't want him to benefit from the proceeds of crime. He's stolen this.
Benefiting from the proceeds of crime that's a goyish concept.
No, I'm saying we don't want him to get ahead. Benefit from his wrongdoing.
Yeah, but he's not benefiting anyway. If he stole,
he's getting kiddushin. He's marrying the girl.
No, first of all, so if she's moichel, if she would really be moichel, then she's moichel. So then, if I steal something from you and then you say, "Don't worry about it, you can keep it," so good luck. Then good luck for you. Yeah, but if you accept it, if she accepts it for marriage, but she says, "By the way, you still owe me for what you stole. I'll take the figs back, but you still owe me money for the fact that you stole it." He's not getting anything. He's not to pay for it. It's gneva. Yeah. So what do you call Bennett? What do you call Niska? What's he Niska? If she's Moichel, then he's Niska, but she's Niska for he's only Niska if she's Moichel. If she's not Moichel, it wouldn't be Niska, right? If she's Moichel, then good luck. If you steal something and the person you stole it from says, "I don't mind if you keep it,"
you still have done the Avera,
so you'll do Tshuva. You'll say Shamnu Begadnu and you'll Gazalnu and you'll do Tshuva. But with Dine Mominus, if a guy's Michael, the guy's Michael.
He's returned the stolen object. I mean.
Okay, but there's a Dine Mominus, right? In Dine Mominus, the thing belongs to you or doesn't belong to you? Right? If somebody is Michael something to you, then it belongs to you. Technically it's yours. You're a Rosh and you did Gneva, so you'll do Tshuva, you know? Okay. Ishmamina, the third thing is Isha Nasi Shliach Lecharito, that one woman can be an agent for the others. Even in a case where they're becoming co-wives, because we know that co-wives hate each other, and therefore generally we don't let them do things on each other's behalf because they would dafka screw things up for the other one. But in this case, when it's just a shlichus, even though one of them took the figs and said okay, yeah, then they're all married except for the sisters, yeah, even though they're becoming co-wives, so they're going to start, but they don't start hating each other until a little bit later. So at the time when she took it, maybe she doesn't hate the other one yet, and therefore the shlichus works. Okay, so those were three things. But the problem is, Rav started off by saying, we learned four things, but I'm only telling you three. It's ve'idach mahi. So what's the other one that Rav didn't want to tell us? The fourth one is kiddushin shemistur in the beer. The fourth one is the whole debate we've been talking about till now, about marriage where you don't know which one he can marry, which is the two sisters. And we learned from this Mishnah about that also. Is the question is, v'nechshava, why didn't Rav tell us that we learn about that as well? Says the Gemara, very simple. Rav wasn't sure who's right out of Abaye and Rava. not that Rav knew Abaye and Rava because they lived later, but in concept, he didn't know whether Kiddushin She'em is Surin the Be'ahava Kiddushin or not. So he didn't know how to learn Pshat in the Mishnah. Remember yesterday, we asked the Kasha in the Mishnah. Yeah, the first part was a Kasha on Rava, the second part was a Kasha on Abaye. So we said, Rava Matavis Tamei, Abaye Matavis Tamei. Rava and Abaye both learned Pshat in the Mishnah according to themselves. According to Rabaye, it's talking about when he says that sisters are not married, it's talking about where he tries to marry both of them together. And Rava says when he says a sister's not married, it's because even when he told I want to marry one of the two, it also doesn't work. So Rabbi and Rava learned Pshat in the Mishnah, each one to fit in with their opinion. So Rav says the Mishnah is definitely telling you according to one of them, but each one is going to tell you that he's right, and I don't want to get into that, or I don't know, and therefore he doesn't tell us which one of them is what the Mishnah is telling us. Okay, Kisalik Rav Zera, when Rav Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael from Bovel, he went on Aliyah. Amar lahashmata kamadar Bechanan. So he mentioned this whole discussion in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lah, and Rabbi Yochanan said, "Oh, Abai, Rav said this."
Wasn't Rabbi Zera the one who fasted to forget the whole Talmud?
Yes, it was.
So
I think it was.
He chazed over his Talmud Bavli to Rabbi Yochanan, even though he fasted to forget it.
Kasha for Maisa.
He. No. Kasha
for Maisa
means something.
Amalei. Yeah, I don't know. That's another answer. Amalei. So he says.
Kasha for Maisa is when you tell him. It happened like that. Why did it happen?
So obviously at the time when Rav Zera was telling this to Rabbi Yochanan, and he still remembered it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rav Zera said to Rabbi Yochanan that Rav said that we learn all these things from the Mishnah. Is Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Me Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that? In other words, so it sounds like he's questioning. Yeah, Rav said such a thing? So the Gemara says, what's the problem? The Hulayama didn't that a stolen property, yeah, Rav said stolen property doesn't work. So Rabbi Yochanan says, did Rav really say that? So the Gemara says, what are you asking, Rabbi Yochanan? The Hulayama, don't you also agree with that? What are you questioning whether Rav said it? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you yourself, Rabbi Yochanan, you said, Gozel and Ishashua Bailim, if somebody stole something and the owner hasn't given up hope yet, yeah? So who does it belong to? Well, it belongs to the owner. But the owner hasn't got it. It's in the other guy's house. So both of them don't really have full possession of it. So therefore, neither one of them can make it hektish. The ganav can't make it hektish because it's not his. You haven't got a right to make hektish something that's not yours. And the owner can't make hektish because he hasn't got control over it. Even though it's by title deed, it's his, but he hasn't got control over it, he can't make it hektish. So that means Rabbi Yochanan says he can't be maktish something that you stole. So he agrees that stolen goods isn't just yours. Just like you can't be maktish, you can't marry a woman with it either. So what's Rabbi Yochanan questioning? Did Rav really say that? So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't questioning Rav's halacha. On the contrary, he said back to Rabbi Zera, "Mi yom Rav kavasi." He was surprised that Rav agreed with him, because usually Rav and Rabbi Yochanan argue with each other all the time. So when Rabbi Yochanan heard that Rav said the same thing as him, he said, oh, really? Rav holds like me? Wow. So that's what he was saying. Basically, now I'll ask you a kasha. Kitcha be gezel v'chamas of nevi. He tries to marry a woman using stolen stuff. Gezel means stolen outright, means stolen by gunpoint. Yeah, give me your wallet. Chamas means not stolen but forced. Like you own something and I want it. So I hold a gun to your head, but I say I'm not going to steal it from you. I want you to sell it to me. Sell it to me. I'll give you money, but I'm forcing you. Like I'm not giving you a choice to sell it to me. You have to sell it to me. So that's called chamas. Chamas in modern Hebrew.
A chamsin,
it means, it's not exactly extortion here, it's forcing someone to sell something that's what they want to. Standover tactics. Mafioso tactics. Huh? A bandit, yeah. Over gneva, or gneva is more burglary, where you sort of sneak in and steal something. So any one of these proceeds, he tries to marry the woman, or he just walked up to her, grabbed the money out of her hand, and gave it back to her, and said, Vikitsha, marry me. Is Mekodeshes? Whoa, it works.
Be careful when you send your daughter.
So what's going on here? How come it works? We just got through saying stolen goods don't work. Answer the Gemara, Hasam begezel didah. That's because it's her thing. So when she took it and accepted it, that shows that she was moichel and therefore it works. Fred the Gemara, just a cotton picking minute. Amida katani seifa, you just said. Oh, sorry, Hasam begezel didah. Yeah, so if the Gemara says 1 minute. The last part was Shechatav Sela Mishallah. The last part was, and he took the money from her. Is Miklal de Reisha, is begezel the Alma Askinon. That means that the first part is when he stole from someone else, and you're saying she's Mekodeshes. And it's a Gemara, Perusha Kamefarich. It's not two different cases, it's all explaining one case. Kitcha Begezel Bechamas of Gneva, if he married her with the proceeds of an operation, what's it called? Stealing. Yeah, Ketzad, what's the example of that? Kigoyin Shechot of Salam Yoda, for example, he grabbed money out of her hand, Vikitcha, but he married her. Yeah, so therefore that works. Fred the Gemara, just a minute. Vahamas Nisin, and our Mishnah, the Gezel Lidoy, we learned from our Mishnah, we were talking about where he stole it from them. So it was her stolen proceeds. That is where Rav said it doesn't work. So what's going on here? Answers the Gemara Lekasha. If they previously had a discussion, they went on a few dates, and they were, you know, getting into the marriage thing, and then he gives her stolen money back, and she accepts it, so then we'll say Mekudeshes, because he really was Meichel. But if they didn't have any dates beforehand, they didn't have any discussion about a shidduch, and he suddenly just walks up in the street and steals her money and hands it back to her Mekudeshes, we'd have, then it's not Mekudeshes. Probably, why don't you take it back? Because you figured this is a good way to get my money back, so I'm not going to, I'll say yes, and I'll keep the money, and that's it, but it doesn't really mean to marry him. Okay. There was a woman washing her feet in a bowl of water. And she had feet like you wouldn't believe. So some guy saw her and decided he wants to marry her based on her feet. Based on her feet. He thought, the feet are so good, imagine what her head's like. It's also a gavra.
You see what comes from not being sneezed?
So that's right. So some guy comes along, chatav zuzim b'chavra, he's walking in the street. He pickpockets from the other guy next to him, walking down the street. V'shad alon, he throws the money at her. Amar alon, he says to her, mikadashtali, marry me with this money. So then, when they calmed down, they thought, oh, are we married? Are we married or not? It's also who Gavrila came with the Rava. So the guy came to Rava, Omar, and Rava told him, lest the chashla had Rab Shimon, nobody agrees with Rab Shimon, the Omar stam gzela yish pailimhu. Which Rab Shimon says, that in the case of gzela, when I come up to a guy with a gun, yeah, and I steal his money, he gives up immediately. And once he gives up, the money becomes mine.
Nobody holds like that.
But nobody holds like that. Because the people always think they can get the police, they can do this and that, and therefore when he stole it, when he just grabbed it from the other guy, it ain't his. And therefore the marriage doesn't work. Hahu arisa de kadish be muza de shamchi. So there was a guy who, he tried to marry a woman with a handful of onions. It smelled nice. Sibboleth. Asla kamer de rova, and then he came to rova, did it work? Amalei. Oh, and he was a sharecropper. So what he did was, he's supposed to take a share, but instead of taking a share, he just went and grabbed some with that. They hadn't yet got the division from the owner. So he just grabbed any bundle of onions, and he tried to marry her. So Rabbi said to him, "Man achla, who was meichel to you, the chalek, that it should be yours, and therefore you're not married." The honey mili bimuza. That's only when it was like the tops of the onions. Avokisha, but if it's a whole bundle of onions, which is nicely bundled up like you do when you're actually preparing it, is Matzi Amalei, then he could say, well, hang on, that's what we normally do. I'm a sharecropper. So we make all these bundles, and I take my bundles, and he takes his bundles. I'm allowed to take a bundle. I don't have to ask him on each bundle, can I take this one, can I take that one? We know, I'm going to take 10, and he'll take 20. As I'm not Shakli Kisha, I take my bundle. Kashil Shakilat Kisha, you take your bundle. Kisha Kishika, Kisha, bundle for bundle. So therefore it is his, and therefore he will be married. Then we had a guy who makes beer. The beer maker, what he does is he gets the raw materials, the hops from the dates to make the beer. He gets it from the balabos, and he does the labor. So the balabos provides the ingredients, and this guy provides the labor, and then they split the profit when they sell it. So what did he do? He did kaddish before the shikur. So he took some beer that he'd made, yeah. And he gave it to the he took the dates after they had made the beer out of it, the leftover fruit, the whatever it's left, you know, the dried out husks of the date, and he took that and he went to marry a woman with it. So the question is that his or it's not? Is also Mori the Shikra Ashkeche came the owner of the dates and he says, "What are you doing?" Azamalei says, "What are you doing giving her those dates to marry her? Amaila tastes of Mehachrifa, why don't you give her the better ones?" Yeah, so in other words, from his Loshen, what did he mean by that when he says, why don't you give her better ones? Yeah, does he mean he's Moichel and says he should even give her better dates? Or is he like saying, oh, you're giving away my dates, why don't you just give her my best stuff? Yeah, so it depends on his tone of voice, right? It's also the comment that Rava, so they came to Rava. Omar, he says, Lo Yomru Klachet Zal Yofas, this concept, the expression Klachet Zal Yofas means, why don't you go and take better ones? Yeah, that only works, El Inyan Truma Bulvad, when it's a case of Truma. What's the case of Truma? The Tanya, you're learning a Brisa. Ketzad Omru, Toyim Shalem Yadas, Trumaset Truma. How does it work if I take Truma from your field without asking you? It works. How does that work? I went into Yehuda's field, the liket, and I collected some grain, the Torah, and I took truma. Shalom b'shus, I didn't ask any permission. Is im choshish mishum gezel, if he considers him to be a gazlan, so you tell me, you ganef, what are you doing in my field, what are you doing taking my grain, then ain't truma se truma. If you catch me and call me a ganef, then it's not. Then obviously the truma doesn't count, because it's your stuff, how can I take truma from it? But if you don't say I'm a ganef and you're sort of okay with it, then truma se truma. Then it does work. How do I know whether you consider me a ganef or not? Imlav or not? It's Harei Shabala Bayis Umote. So the Balabayis comes and he catches the guy stealing from his field. The Amar Loi, and he says to him, Klachet Zal Yofas, and he sees that he's taking truma. He says, take better ones. Yeah? So there, Im Nimtzu Yofas Mehem, if there are better ones, truma se truma, then we mean the Balabayis was serious. Because it's truma, and he's doing a mitzvah, so he says, you know what, if it's truma, you can give him better ones. Why stick with that one? Get better ones. When do we say that? When there really are better ones, and we say the Balabayis is serious. Vim Lav, if he hasn't got any better ones, and the guy gave the best, ain't truma se truma, then we say that he's being sarcastic. He says, you gave that, huh? And I suppose if I had better ones, you would have taken the best of that as well. So he's upset. Yeah. So then when the Balabai is being sarcastic, so then the truma is not truma. If the owner comes and collects and wants to add on more, that shows he's happy and therefore for sure works. So that's only by truma because he's doing a mitzvah. So when he says take better ones, he really means it. But over here, when the Balha dates, comes along and sees the beer guy, and he sees that he's given away his dates to the woman for marriage, when he says to her, why don't you take better ones, it's only Mishum Kesufahu Da'avad. He's only saying it to be nice. He doesn't want to embarrass him that he caught him stealing. So he says, no, you could have taken better ones. But he doesn't really mean it. And therefore, Eina Mekudeshes, therefore she is not married. Do you want me to stop here? Okay.